We will, with the help of the Lord, speak today on the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to read one verse out of John 16, which will be our center verse. It's verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? We'll add to that verse 6, but because I have said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart. This is the Lord Jesus who is speaking this. And the Lord Jesus asks, or says, I am telling you I'm going my way. And I'm telling you that I am going my way to him that sent me. And what's astonishing is that none of his disciples are asking, where are you going? No one is asking, where are you going? Do you know that that is the greatest problem with Christianity today? Very few people know where God is. Where the Lord Jesus has gone. And far less people know why he is gone. Why he is not on this earth. See, this is a great point that many don't understand, neither are many asking this. And the Lord, and it's astonishing, the Lord Jesus, and he's saying, why are you not asking me where I'm going? But instead of asking me where you're going, sorrow has filled your heart. You see, because he is encouraging the disciples, he is giving the disciples, he's giving them plenty to look forward to. He's telling them things that are glorious, and yet they're sorrowful. That, my friends, is the problem with Christianity. Many, many people are Christians, and yet they're sorrowful. And they don't know where their Savior is. And yet they do not understand that the Lord Jesus here is telling them about glad tidings. Do you know why they were sorrowful? Because they didn't want him to leave. They wanted to have him with them. They wanted the Lord Jesus to guide them further. And you would say, but is that not good? They love the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you want the Lord Jesus to be with you? That's a good question. But I ask you, do you know this Christ? Or is this Christ just a name for you? And if you know this Christ, he lives with you in your house. He's there. If you know this Christ, the Son of the Living God, he's with you in school.
If you know this Christ, He is with you in your work. If you know this Christ, He is near you while you're making
sinners.
If you know this Christ, you speak to Him, and He speaks in return to you. You know this Christ. He works for you. And you work for Him. If you know this Christ, you are in the field doing your work in the fields. And if you know this Christ, then He is in your marriage. You know this Christ, He is the one who hears everything you say, everything you whisper, everything you do. See, this is the problem. Do you know this Christ? Because He is saying here, instead of asking me whether you're going, sorrow has filled your heart. And many who call themselves Christians today do not believe Christ is near. But He is. I want you to listen closely. And I want you to listen carefully. Because if Christ is manifested in your heart, and your soul has been born again, if your soul is living, you say, what do you mean that my soul is living? Our soul must become alive in Christ. And by nature, we are dead. By nature, we do not know who He is. By the way we are born, we are blind. Spiritually, we cannot see, we cannot hear, we cannot speak. But if we are made alive, then there's life in the soul. And Jesus Christ has been manifested to your soul. Because He comes, we read later, He comes and He reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That is what the work of the Holy Spirit does. The Lord Jesus doesn't do that. Why not? The Lord Jesus does not come here and reprove the world of sin, does not reprove you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Savior. His work and His person is to save. He died, He bled and died, and He was buried and rose again. And in that, He saves people from eternal destruction. But how is it that everything that is in the Lord Jesus Christ can be applied to my soul? You might hear of a Savior. You might read of a Savior. Yet, reading it is not going to help you. Hearing it is not going to help you. That's not going to change you. You know, there's so many people today, they can speak a lot about Jesus Christ. They can say a lot. And they can They can proclaim a lot. Some people even have very talented gifts to speak. And yet they know not the power of Christ. So you may know and hear of a Christ, but how and where lies the power of the work of Christ? How does that come about? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So now I have another question for you. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Does this Holy Spirit dwell in your heart? In your soul? And who is he? What is his work? And what is his person? Let me ask you a deeper question. Do you love the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit precious to you? That is a question you may not be able to answer quickly. For we sing of the Lord Jesus, and we proclaim his glory. But what about the Holy Spirit? Do you know him? Because the work and person of the Holy Spirit is to take that which Christ did and does and bring it into your soul. And that is where life happens. So you can hear the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. But what difference does that make to you? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. What does that mean? And why do I need to know that? And you won't know it. Neither will you be able to take any of the promises of God's word without the power of the Holy Spirit bringing it to your heart. That's why a true born again Christian recognizes a time when he was still dead or she was still dead, and the moment and the time we were made alive in the Spirit. See, suddenly, when you hear something from the Word, it becomes different. Because the Holy Spirit brings it into your heart. Do you know about this? Do you love the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit precious to you? If Christ is precious, is the Holy Spirit precious? You say, how is this? And what does this mean? We read in Acts chapter 1 verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow has filled the heart of everyone who does not understand the word. Sorrow fills the heart for this reason. Because your life is testifying in yourself about how difficult it is. Your job, your work,
school, friends,
no food,
sometimes,
maybe. All these things that are happening in your life. Divorce, hatred amongst each other, anger. You see, everything is pushing us down. And there's one thing that would solve everything. Is that if Jesus Christ came to me, so I can ask him, and I can talk to him. You see, so the disciples say, if you go, we will not have no leader. We will struggle. No, that's not true. I will send one that is greater in you. I need to go. I need to take my throne. Why is that? People, listen carefully. If Jesus Christ was still on earth today, we would have no kingdom of God. For Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. We would have no one to prepare the glory and the unction of his kingdom. The throne would be empty. Meaning the authority would be no authority. If the throne is empty, if there is no king, there is no authority. Then there's only chaos in your soul. Just like there is chaos in the world if there's no authority. And the Lord is saying, I must go. It is expedient that I go. Because when I go to take my throne, the Holy Spirit will take that which is authoritative in the kingdom of heaven, which is the right to life through Jesus Christ, and bring it to your soul and comfort you. Because one will cry out, I am far too great a sinner. And the Lord Jesus will say, and the Lord Jesus says through his words, all that come unto me I will in no wise cast out. That is activated by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to tell you something. And I want you to take this with you. I need to illustrate something for you. There is the common work of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's very much two different things. Yet the same Spirit. You see, because the common work of the Holy Spirit is that the preacher or his word brings it right to your ear. So the work of the Spirit is to bring the word to the people. The word echoes into your ears. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to send men to bring this word to the people. It's called the common work of the Holy Spirit. And it brings it to the people. Now, when it goes to the people, it does one of two things. Either it goes in, or it comes back. It comes back. And it does not go into your heart, neither into your soul. Many people fall asleep and are not interested in this kind of teaching. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Because there's no interest in it for the kingdom of God. And there's only a legalistic kind of a legalistic way of making sure that you are under the preaching because you think you have to. You feel forced to do something. You feel forced to read His word, but it has no power. And you rest in knowing that you're doing something. That's why there's sleepiness. And there's no life in the word. It's coming with its warning. It's being preached to wake you up. We sleep on. It's mostly careless about what the future is going to bring. That is the common work of the Holy Spirit, coming to all men. You see? Now, the particular work of the Holy Spirit, when it goes past the ears, when we're calling out, repent and believe the gospel, and all who do not repent and believe the gospel will perish eternally. The conscience works and says it's true, and a fear comes, and a concern comes. I need to be saved. I need to be rescued. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is also the common work of the Holy Spirit, bringing it right to your soul. However, when the Holy Spirit brings it to your soul, and repentance takes place, you believe in the gospel, then what? Do you know this? This is something most people miss. Something most people don't understand. Then what happens is you receive, and the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive a gift. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, He will teach you all things. And He will give you all that. See, this is a lesson, and this is lessons that we very little understand. That's why He says, ask anything in my name to the Father, and he will give it. And when the Holy through that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in a person, in a sinner saved, not general people, those who have come to faith and are not a mere Christian but a born again Christian, wherein the Holy Spirit is dwelling, that is where your communication to God lies. Then you read His Word, and the Holy Spirit applies it. The Holy Spirit makes it real. And the Holy Spirit makes that which is of Christ special and glorious. He says in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when we are baptized, we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But why is it that we have so little understanding of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask this again. Why is there so little understanding nor receiving of the Holy Spirit or the truth of the Holy Spirit? Why is that? That is because of this reason. Because we have such little understanding or knowledge of the kingdom of God. That's why. Because we think we have need for things on the earth. You want your family to flourish. You want maybe a new house. And maybe you want a better job. Maybe you want a better wife or a better husband. Always wanting something else. Always wanting more. But those who receive everything they have here from the Lord, receive it as a gift, as a blessing, go further to look into the kingdom of God. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And the power and work and glory of the Holy Spirit is that to tell you what the kingdom is about. To bring to your heart and your soul the power there is in Christ Jesus. To declare the Father to you. To actuate all of the promises of God in His Word. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Many people pray it off. I believe that many people pray a whole lot more than they read the Bible. Many times I hear I've prayed for years on this and that. I've prayed for years that the Lord would do this for me. And it's not, it's like he doesn't hear me. Yes, he does hear you. But you need to understand something. He already takes care of your life. And he knows exactly what you need. And he already takes away that which you don't need. You don't need anything more than he gives you in this life. What he wants is to direct you to ask for spiritual food. He wants and can only actuate everything that flows out of Christ. Shall I give you an example? Many people ask this in prayer. Lord, help me to be more loving.
More
loving.
Oh, I'm going to turn this into a word. I'm going to give you what you've done.
Help me to be more kind and loving. They won't answer that. Because you can't. You know what you need to ask? Lord, let me love and be kind like you, Christ. Let your love flow through me. That's two different things. Completely two different things. You may want God to make you, who is a sinner, better than all other sinners in yourself. If Christ is your Savior,
and the
Holy Spirit dwells in you, you may love like Christ.
Because
the fruits of love flow out of the finished work of Christ through your soul. Lord, I'm not a very patient person. Please help me to be more patient. Give me more patience. He's not going to answer that. No, because we don't realize nor recognize that we don't possess that.
If was the man
we were dead sinners, are made alive in Christ. Meaning that we feed and begin to resemble, feed off of Christ and begin to resemble
him.
The patience that Christ purchased, oh Lord, let that flow through me. And you know what happens then? He gets the honor and glory. And someone says, wow, you used to be so impatient. But now you're so fast. And he says, ha ha,
that's not me.
She used to say very mean things. She's so tender. She's so kind. And the woman said, no, not me. Christ who dwells in me. You see how great.
You don't need Christ.
And the work of the Holy Spirit is to do this. You can't
stop.
You are not patient. You're a sinner. You're a rebel. You're condemned. Go to Christ to receive forgiveness, to receive life, to receive power in Him. Receive the Holy Spirit by going in baptism and rising up again. Not that the act of baptism gives you the Holy Spirit, but you show therein a sign and seal that you died yourself, rising up with Christ. Should happen already prior to the baptism. But that's why you want to show forth to the people. I am no longer my own. I belong to Christ. He is, I am His possession. And I don't need anything on this earth that would make me distrust Him. You see, so many people, they say, my life is so rough. My husband is so mean. Lord, help me and deliver me. And the Lord says this. No, you need to be like me. So your husband changes. You see? See, a lot of women are crying out. My life is so ruined. Lord, change it. Why don't you change it, Lord? And the Lord says, because I want you to be an example like me, so that you, through that example, can change your husband. You see how wise that is? James chapter 4 says this. He says, you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, just to consume it for your own. And therefore, because you want it for yourself, it won't glorify God. It won't glorify the Father. See, this is why that after that the Lord Jesus stood up and only appeared to His disciples here and there, He was teaching them, you don't want me to be with you as a person anymore. Can I give you an illustration? Let me try to make it so simple illustration. If I this building
better,
you were all waiting outside. And you're waiting for 2 hours, 3 hours, the door is locked. I have the key. And as soon as I come, what happens? I not only unlock the door, which means that you can come in. I put the lights on.
Yes,
I activate everything. So that we can be together. See, this is what the Lord Jesus meant. When I go to my kingdom, I will activate everything. May I receive my kingdom? My bride. And the power. The glory of our kingdom. And Christ activates everything that makes a soul safe. Happy, joyful, you see, patient, loving, caring, concerning for one another. It's all coming from the power of the blood of Christ. And the Holy Spirit brings it to the sinner first to awaken him. That was that common work. And once the sinner repents and believes the gospel, the Holy Spirit indwells. This is the glorious work and person of the Holy Spirit. I need to tell you something. Because the common work of the Spirit, let me ask you something. Why is the common work of the Holy Spirit not the same thing as the indwelling? Think about it. The common work of the Spirit goes everywhere. And if we do not repent and believe the gospel, the common work of the Spirit will testify against us for all eternity in hell. But the common work of the Spirit cannot be indwelling in your soul. Because if He is indwelling, His promise is never to leave. And the Holy Spirit cannot go to
hell.
Which means this. It means that millions of people have been under the influence of the common work of the Holy Spirit. And are still not lost. That's something to think about. Because you can come here under his word and his common spirit, the spirit of truth commonly is working amongst us. The Holy Spirit is here. But you can believe and have not repented. And not believe the gospel and not receive the indwelling of the Spirit. You can do that week in and week out. And you think you have something. You say, oh no, I'm a Christian. But true teachers and true pastors ask, what does that mean? Who is Christ for
you?
What have you been saved from? And they hear something. What do you think they hear? They're listening and wanting to hear. Is the Spirit indwelling? Does this person speak with the indwelling Spirit or just of the common Spirit? See, if we say, if one would say, I am saved, and we would say, what are you saved from? Then the person would maybe say, from my sins. But only because they heard this from the preacher. But where the Spirit is indwelling, We say this. Oh, I was a rebel. I sinned against my wife. I was angry with God. I was a madman. My heart is filthy. I was vile. I was a wretch. And Christ saved me from eternal destruction. Yes, he plucked me like a firebrand out of the fire. And now I am his. In his name be all honor and glory. I am nothing. He is everything. He has saved me from eternal damnation. Because I was cursed. You see, when that happens, you can begin to change. You know what happens here in Malawi all the time? You know what kind of religion Malawi has? We explained a little bit this morning. Millions of Malawians, they're trying to change their life. Did bad things. Now I'm trying to do better. And they're hoping that way to persuade God to feel sorry for them. If I get a little bit better, then God will look on me. And then maybe I have a chance to go to heaven. What is being born again? Then the answer was this. I did bad things, but now I do good things. That's not being born again. Listen carefully. You cannot first be better than to receive salvation. Is worse and sees how much of a sinner he is to be saved. And then begins to produce fruits of righteousness. And come home every day now.
Well, I was sick before you don't see how the
home is done. Beating
your life.
Wasting your money. And suddenly, you change. And you don't be drunk anymore. You stop drinking beer. And you don't be the righteous. And you think that's salvation. Holy Spirit, and says, you rebel. You're in trouble. And you fall before a righteous God. What did the sinner say? In the corner of the temple? Because Christ said, I will. You see, if that happens, then you begin to bear fruits of righteousness. What do you do then? When you were persecuting your wife, the love of Christ in your heart, I can do that. Maybe you have a desire for going to drink.
Mm-hmm. And you want to get drunk.
But the Lord, and with the work of the Holy Spirit,
says,
no.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Because you will do strange things. And you say, thank you for your grace. Because it's only by grace alone. I don't have that power. And have you received the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the next thing that happens here is Pentecost. The next thing is the promises of the Spirit come. He visits his disciples. For the outpouring of the Spirit for so many days. I'm asking this. If Christ is risen in your heart, has the Holy Spirit activated the kingdom in your heart? We'll speak more about this in the next coming weeks. I want to tell you more about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As many people think the Holy Spirit is something that just gets put in our heart. That's not it. You know what we read here? The Spirit of Truth. So that means that the Spirit actuates the truth in Christ. In your heart. How about the Spirit of love? How about the Spirit of conviction? How about the Spirit of admonition? How about the Spirit of patience? The Spirit, there's so much. The Spirit of truth. You see, what are you missing? What are you missing at all? Because there is an abundance of the power of Christ that still needs to be discovered in your soul. And that's what we need to know. Of course, there is also the spirit of prophecy, which means that the Holy Spirit gives men that spirit to be able to bring it to the people. There's the spirit of that will enable men to preach. And that is not what everyone has. So there is the general work of the Spirit. The typical gifts of the Spirit. That is actuated in all of the hearts of all of God's people. And then there's particular work of the Spirit that's given to those whom God will and chooses to do His work. Take this with you. Consider these things. But consider first of all, are you born again? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Because there's also, listen carefully, there's also what we know as the Spirit of Love. The Spirit of Hatred. this atmosphere of discontentment. That's all from the other kingdom. And that's what we're for. The kingdom of Satan. The spirit of envy. You see? So now we know that these two are contrary to each other and fight each other. Who is stronger? Listen. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then the spirit of Satan has free reign. That's why you see them around us. Hatred
and darkness,
murders
and darkness,
beatings,
drunkenness,
adultery,
cheating,
you name it. Because the spirit of Satan is thick among
us.
But when individually the Spirit of God comes, and breaks and shatters. That's why he says that in Revelation, he will rule with a rod of iron. I know it's hard for you to understand. What he means that is that the Spirit of Truth will, when the Spirit of Truth comes, it shatters the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is stronger than the spirits.
Yes, sir.
The Spirit of Truth is stronger than the Spirit of God. And you would say, but if that's so, if the Spirit of Truth is stronger than the Spirit of Lies, why is lies so big in this world? Because where the Spirit of Truth is not indwelling, then the Spirit of Lies has free range. You would have
watched.
If I'm not born again, I have not repented. If I have not believed the gospel, Satan dwells in me. I am one filthy, wretched rebel. In word, and deed, or in thoughts, and in deed. And I can't do nothing else. Young people, that's why your life is full of this. That's why you have plotting about what you're going to do, how you're going to maybe steal something, and it starts small, but it just gets bigger and bigger. And that's why men cannot control themselves when lusting and seeking after another wife. People, it's not like some people are just worse than others. You and me are all the same. By nature, I am a rebel.
With
all the God of grace, God of mercy, who plucked me out of my dungeon and set me in the light. Who washed me, cleansed me, and put life in me, so I may live to his honor.